Welcome to the Conscious Mooner Show, episode number 2413.
Captain Hoff here. I am the CEO and chairman of Founderspace. And on today's show, we're going to talk about Don't Get Burned, NFT and crypto scams.
Welcome to the Conscious Millionaire Podcast Network, heard by millions of listeners in 190 countries. The Conscious Millionaire Show is for purpose-driven entrepreneurs who want to get rich changing the world. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III, known as the world's number one identity multiplier expert. I help entrepreneurs multiply what they believe and achieve as possible. Want to multiply your sales and impact? Join me today as I interview another millionaire entrepreneur or world-class expert on their secrets to business success. Hi, I'm JV, and I'm so excited you joined me because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training especially for you. And whether you're a service or a tech business, this show is for you. And if this is your first time, thank you so much for visiting us. I hope it's an amazing experience. And if it is, please tell other of your entrepreneur friends. And if you're coming back, thank you so much for returning. Either way, you can subscribe to all 6 days a week by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. And at the top of the page, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, we have the links for both. Now help me welcome our featured guest. He's the chairman and CEO of Founderspace, a global innovation hub for entrepreneurs, corporations, and investors with over 50 partners in 22 countries. He is a founder of three venture-backed and two bootstrapped startups and author of several award-winning books, including Make Elephants Fly, Surviving a Startup, and his recent book, The Five Forces. My guest today, Steve Hoffman, or as he's better known in Silicon Valley, Captain Hoff. Captain Hoff, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, JV.
Well, you know, today we're going to continue talking about technology of the future and how you can apply it today to rapidly grow your business 10 times, 100 times, how you can combine it with other technologies so that you can grow, make a bigger impact, put more money in the bank, and ultimately get a life that's going to be happy and fulfilling for you. Because if you don't get that, I don't think the rest is really going to matter in the end. You know, we're going to be talking about how not to get burned. So we've been talking about what to do. Now we're going to talk about how not doing things is going to be better for you than doing them on NFT and crypto scams. First of all, let's just define for some people who may not know what an NFT is, because it's out there, but a lot of people have an imprecise or just a fuzzy definition of it.
Yeah, so NFTs are very simple. An NFT stands for non-fungible token, but you don't have to know what that means. All it is a video image or a image, a graphic image or an audio file, anything that can be digitized that is put on the blockchain so that there's a record of it on the blockchain that you own it. And then you can buy and sell these on the blockchain. So it's basically the mechanism of using the blockchain to buy and sell digital assets.
And I think everybody has heard, because there have been so many articles about artists creating digital NFTs. But in the end, that may not be the biggest use of them at all, because you could also create an NFT that gives people special access. Like maybe you're doing big events. You could be an artist, you could be a trainer, you could be a coach, you could be, you know, have a business that provides any kind of service, and it gives them special access that other people don't get. And there's a limited number of those. So that's another application of an NFT.
Yeah, so there are a lot of them. So a lot of people, like Elon Musk, doesn't believe NFTs have value. Like he's a very negative guy on NFTs. Other people are huge, like putting billions of dollars into this NFT economy. And we've seen things like Bored Apes. Like they've gone up. Like I remember I heard about Bored Apes early on when they, you know, you could buy a Bored Ape for $25,000. They shot up. Like people are selling Bored Apes for millions of dollars. It's just absolutely insane. And all they are is a little graphic image of an ape. Like, and people copy them. There are all these ripoffs of Bored Apes and all these other animated characters. You're like, anybody could put up an image of anything and sell it as an NFT. What makes some valuable and what makes others not valuable? That is the question. And that is where a lot of people get confused. A lot of scammers take advantage of them. So this is what I wanted to talk about. I'm not like pro or negative NFTs. I'm not pro or negative Web 3.0. I am a realist. Like, this is here now. What you need to do is understand it so that you can benefit from it while at the same time protect yourself.
Well, and I think that this entire world, the future of technology and where everything's headed, one of the things you and I have already discussed, but I want to bring it back up because I think it's so critical, and it's about meaning and context, meaning and reference point, that on the one hand, you could say it's a picture of an ape, it has no value. There's no context, or Bitcoin, there's nothing supporting it. Where's the gold? Yes. Where's the government? Why does it have any value? And then on the other hand, you can say, but wait a minute, the value comes from the meaning and context and experience that other people have. And so for them, for Elon Musk, zero meaning, zero context, zero value. For someone else, they might pay $1 billion for the NFT.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Elon Musk doesn't believe in NFTs, but he believes in crypto, like Dogecoin. Like, he's huge on it. Like,
and you have to ask, essentially, what's the difference here?
Yeah, what's the difference? And like you said, so you can choose, like, very smart people will have diametrically opposed opinions, you know, Warren Buffett not believing in any of this, and other people, you know, totally all in. Jack Dorsey, like the founder of Twitter, totally all in on cryptocurrency. The answer at the end of the day is exactly what you said. If you are involved in this community, if you think like the other people think that this thing is valuable, then it has value. Let's at the end of the day, whatever we put our money into has value. So, like, it has value, otherwise we wouldn't be assigning money to it, right? Money equates to value, or time, like investing our time. So with any of these MFTs, the Bored Apes, they launched at just the right time. What they did was they caught people's attention. They were a much higher quality than the previous generation of graphic images that had come out, and people who believed in the blockchain and believed the blockchain was the future suddenly saw these Bored Apes as, wow, this is the future coming right now. I'm going to buy into that. And they bought into it for various reasons. Some bought because they thought it was just cool and they wanted to, you know, say they owned a Bored Ape. Others bought into it because they thought that the price would go up. In essence, they thought other people coming in after them would pay more. Right. And of course that happened. Now, where does it end? Like, how much is a Bored Ape worth? Were they worth, you know, when they launched, a couple $100s? Were they worth a couple $1,000s? Are they worth hundreds of thousands, which most of them are priced at now? Some in the millions of dollars? Where does it end? And nobody knows. Nobody can tell you. The community that is buying this will ultimately decide. And what we're seeing is that this is very exciting. It's very kind of new and opens up all these worlds.
Well, it has a sexiness to it.
It has a sexiness, you know, the whole idea, the concept of the blockchain, the concept of owning something on the blockchain. What people don't understand, and this is what I want to talk about in this episode,
right,
is that when you own an NFT, first of all, when you own it, you don't actually own the copyright. People don't realize this, but in most cases, unless the owner, the creator of those digital NFT images has specifically assigned you the legal copyright in whatever country that they want to, they have it copyrighted to you, you actually own nothing. So all you own is a pointer on the blockchain, little pointer to a graphic file that actually isn't stored on the blockchain, because the blockchain wasn't designed to hold videos and all these graphics. They're designed to, you know, to numerically hold a small amount of numeric information that designates something else. So it's just literally a pointer to a video file or an image file that's stored on some server somewhere that somebody could delete. Do you really own it? And then legally, like, the Bored Apes become a movie, or the Bored Apes become a game, and they're becoming all these sorts of things and a metaverse and all that. Do you own those? Well, no, you only own what the actual creator of those original NFTs says you own. So if they say, oh, because you own a Bored Ape, you have access to the new virtual world we're creating, or you have access to buy other Bored Apes that we come out with later, they call mutant apes, then you actually do have that ability. If they don't give you those rights, You don't own it. So one of my things I want people to understand is that it's not legal ownership like we typically think of it. It's not like if I buy the copyright to a book, I own it. No, it's very, very different. What you're buying is something completely different.
And this is fascinating. And folks, I have to disclaim because I'm going to say I'm a licensed attorney. I'm not giving you legal advice. But I'm finding this conversation, I'm going through multiple layers. Like I had at one point an original piece of art that I collaborated with the artist and we created, but I had to pay for it twice. I had to pay for my copy, which was the only copy in the world because it was an original piece, but I also had to buy the copyrights because I wanted to use it for something. So that was like 30 years ago. So that was my first introduction to, oh, I could pay for a custom piece of art, but I also don't own the copyrights. I have to buy those. I want to take just a moment before we go into the ways you can get burned, because as I'm listening to this, this is kind of the image I'm getting. In conventional reality, and I'm much more over, I'm calling this is all part of conscious technology reality over here. That's where I live. I find increasingly conventional reality, not much that interest. But in conventional reality, we give value to investments because they have some kind of a physical reference point.
You right, own, like gold. Like there's a physical gold there.
But over here, the big difference is there's only a digital reference point. And but, then the question is, what is that digital reference point worth? Is that right?
Not exactly. Okay. I'm going to go one step.
Okay, good. No, I'm glad I brought it up.
What you said is right. It's not wrong. But there's another aspect to it.
Okay, great.
In the real world, you can own digital assets. Right. But you would own them through our legal system, through the system of copywriting in whatever country you purchased that intellectual property rights. Okay. However, in the blockchain, it doesn't necessarily correlate to those laws. Like there's no direct hookup unless the original owner, just like you bought that painting and you had to buy it twice, you know, you bought that piece of artwork, you had to you could buy the artwork, but then you had to buy the rights to actually monetize it and use the whatever they created. It's the exact same thing in the blockchain space. So all I'm saying is you really have to understand what you own. And let me give you a great example. So what are you buying? Like there is a group that formed a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, where they all pooled their money together. And then they decided we are going to buy Dune because they are like geeks, right? And they wanted to buy Dune and they wanted to buy one of the original books of Dune, right? And they thought if we buy this actual book, this collector's edition book for lots of money, millions of dollars, I forget how much, then we will own the rights to Dune. Well, they did, they bought it. And then all the members suddenly found out that they had bought something that didn't have the intellectual property rights. They didn't control Dune.
So all they owned was the physical copy of the book.
All they owned was a physical copy. And what I'm saying in this Web 3.0 world is you might own an instance of this digital representation on a specific blockchain. And there are many blockchains out there, by the way. There's not just one. There are like, there's Solana, there's, you know, the Ethereum blockchain, there's Polygon, a whole nother one, an extension of Ethereum, and it goes on and on and on. And you may own it on one blockchain, but that's all you own it on this instance of this digital image on one blockchain. And you have to understand, do they have the right to sell it on other blockchains? Do they have the right to sell more than one of these on the same blockchain? What are you actually buying? And who are you reliant upon for the rights to this? So it's most people don't go this far. Like they don't know what they're buying. They have no idea. And most people, honestly, I'll tell you how these NFTs work. Most people are driving up the price based purely on speculation.
Yep.
They are not doing it because they love the artist. Some are. They are not doing it because they think the image is so amazing that it's just revolutionary, going to change history. They're doing it only because they think, wow, enough of other people, this is getting enough attention right now, enough hype that other people are going to come in after me and buy it for more. And I'm going to make a bundle of money really fast, quick money. That can be very rewarding if you get in early and sell at the right time. You can make a lot of money, but it also mirrors the same exact structure of a Ponzi scheme.
So, yes. No, I'm listening to that. Folks, we're about to get into the most exciting part of this episode. We're going to talk about how to not get burned, and we'll be doing that when we return with Captain Hoff. Stay tuned. Want to turn your six-figure business into seven figures? Or maybe it's time to rapidly scale your seven-figure business by a million or more. Well, get my award-winning book, Conscious Millionaire, the number one book in 34 categories when it launched, 14 chapters with proven exercises, a literal blueprint on how to build a high-profit business that positively impacts humanity. Well, today, it's my gift to you, absolutely free. Just go to consciousmillionaire.com/free book. That's consciousmillionaire.com/free book. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/free book and download your free book today. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III. I'm the host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. We're talking about the future technology and how you can apply it to your business as an entrepreneur. Today, we're talking about how to not get burned using NFTs and cryptos, how to avoid the scams. But first, we want to do the 24-hour challenge. What's the challenge you have for everyone listening today, Steve?
Well, I want everyone to go out there and take 5 minutes and literally type in the words crypto scams to Google and see what comes up. And then type in NFT scams and see what comes up. And you're going to start to see that this is going on a massive scale.
Yeah. So, and that's great. Cause this is, we've been talking about there's a cost of the education, but this is the free part. You can just go learn from what other people have learned from by Googling it. I want to reach out right now and thank you specifically for being a part of the show, because Captain Hoff and I are friends. We could have a chat, but if you aren't here, it's not called a podcast and the world doesn't change. It changes because you're here, and I want to thank you for being here. I also want to reach out and thank all of our fans and friends in San Diego and São Paulo, Brazil. And now it's time to dig in about those scams. So let's start talking about the scams and how you can avoid the scams for NFT and crypto.
So there are a lot of different ways to avoid it, but the best way is to educate yourself. So let me start educating you right now. First of all, a lot of people don't know this, but when they do a crypto offering, when they offer a new token on the blockchain, a new coin, like a new version of Bitcoin, they call these altcoins. What most of the people are doing is they are keeping a good portion for themselves. Whoever came up with the idea to create this new coin, you could call it Captain Hoff coin, that's me. You know, if I came up with a Captain Hoff coin, I'd reserve a bunch for myself. Then I would go out, and a lot of times I'll raise money from investors, actually, and I'll use that money to market it. So I'm gonna go out to all the different crypto sites out there, and I'm gonna start paying them to hype up this coin, hype it up. And I'm going to come up with an idea. They call it a white paper. It's just a concept. I haven't built anything. And I'm going to say, we are going to use this coin to revolutionize the auto industry. And everybody's going to buy their cars in the future.
So it's just a concept.
Yeah. There's nothing there. It's just a concept. Look, and then they,
folks, that's air. We're selling air.
Yeah. And then they put it out on the blockchain. And a lot of times these coins go from a few cents to thousands of dollars. I mean, look at the price of Bitcoin, you know, tens of thousands of dollars from a few cents. That's an amazing amount of earning. But what does it mean? What is there behind the coins? Do they actually create value? And this is questionable, right? Because a lot of the value is at some point in the future as this technology evolves. So we don't know. So that's number one. That's with these currency. And you're seeing
Do you know whether you're being taken for a ride? Well, let me phrase this very carefully. Taken for a ride or on a ride with somebody who genuinely intends to do something, but maybe nothing's going to come from that, or this is the real thing and it's actually going to materialize.
Really hard to know. So what the people who are really into this do is they are literally, so they're looking at these altcoins as they rise up. They're looking at the speed of appreciation, you know, mm-hmm. the trajectory, and they're making a bet. They're speculating. They're saying, look, this one's going to the moon. I'm going to bet if I lose my money on this, well, I'll make 10x or 100x on the next one. So I don't care, you know, and they're kind of spreading their bets across a lot of these different altcoins. And I'll tell you, most of the altcoins have already, many of them have crashed, gone to zero, and many more will crash, but a few will be sustainable. Few just keep going and going and going and going. And we've seen that with Bitcoin. We've seen that Ethereum, they actually created a whole ecosystem that's powering a lot of these decentralized apps, NFTs, things like that. So that ecosystem was something that you could have pointed to and said, oh, if I buy Ether at a low price, they're doing more than just hyping it up. They're actually building the infrastructure to support other decentralized applications. So I see value there. And that's what you, what ultimately, if you want to be on the safer side, if you're not just out there gambling, like in the largest casino in the world right now, which is crypto, you want to look for what actual value and who's involved, what are their backgrounds, what is their commitment, and will this in the future of the blockchain be a critical piece?
Well, and I want to bring something up, and I want you to put this in the back of your head, but not too far in the back. I want you to remember this always, because I'm a futurist, and at various times I've been a futurist on the pandemic, and I got it, you know, pretty much 100% correct. I've been a futurist on the stock market and different investments. I've got making investment decisions for you right now. But back in the rise of the tech, where the NASDAQ in 2000 went to 5,400. And my prediction, and I shorted it, my prediction was that it would go to 900. Now, I was only off by a small amount. It went to 1,100. How did I make that prediction? This is what I want you to always remember. Parabolic curves, which is what we're talking about, tend to correct mathematically, they tend to correct 90%. Right? So if you go up that fast, and you can see them because it's almost like a straight line up, it is mathematically, it is probable that the majority, not all, because some of them are going to stay up there, but that the majority of them are going to come back. And that's what you meant, crashing to earth.
Yeah. And now, speaking of scams, it can get even worse. So a lot of the NFTs out there for sale, they do something they call marketing. But I think I term it more as scamming. So they will put
hyping.
Well, no, hyping is one thing. I already mentioned that for crypto. This is real scamming. Yeah. This is even worse. Okay. So a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put a limited number of NFTs out there, these images, whatever it is. You know, they have all these, you know, animals and creatures, cute creatures, that they put out there. Could be elves, could be cats, could be whatever it is. They put out 10,000 of them, let's say. And then what they do is they go in there and start buying them themselves. So they start, they not only hype it, they not only get in with the inner communities of buyers and pay money and influencers to push these things like pump and dump schemes, but they actually go in there, which would be totally illegal under the SEC and our stock exchange, and actually pump up the price by actually buying it themselves. Okay. And then creating this momentum, getting a lot of other people who want to make money looking at that trajectory and saying, wow, this thing is rolling. Let's put in our money. And then they sell.
At the top.
They sell at a certain point and let it go where it goes because they've made a lot of money and they're making millions and millions of dollars doing it and people are getting ripped off. So what I'm telling you out there is there are real opportunities, but you have to be really cautious because you have to understand that where there's money, people will do whatever they can get away with for the money. In this industry, the crypto industry and the NFT space, all the stuff on the blockchain is virtually unregulated. Like there's very little regulation going on right now. Some people, if they really cross the line, they get busted. But a lot of these people, you don't even know where they are. They have this thing where they can be anonymous. And a lot of these offerings of cryptos and NFTs, they're being done by people in Malaysia and India and Russia and, you know, you name it. Like they're out there doing this. You don't know who they are. And you're just, oh, those are cool. It's going up. I'll buy it. I'll take a chance. Well, you really are taking a chance.
Well, you know, there are different stages of any investment. And let's just call these investments for now. And that's like the angel investors, because I'm involved in a member of an angel investment group. In angel investment, your chances of winning big are very low because you really don't have a lot of trajectory. You don't have a lot of groundwork with this. You know, it's an idea. Maybe they've sold 100 units, right? But that's kind of where you're at.
Yeah. So most of the, you know, 90% go under, right? Just in being, and those are legitimate businesses.
Yeah. No, it's, they're not out to scam anybody. They're just trying to build a business. But the reality is most businesses don't make it. Where, if someone was wanting to be safer, so let's take something like Bitcoin, because I have to admit that I did not buy it for a few cents because I'm going, what? Where's the under?
Yes, I was asking, where's that decision?
I do. Where's
but the hindsight is always 2020.
But but with like Bitcoin, so I'm only, and I'm not recommending Bitcoin, I'm only using it as an example. So early on, I'm going, I was being Warren Buffett. I was going, I don't understand this. Where's the, because I wanted an underlying asset. I'm going, how does this have value? All right. But now it's been, it's gone up and down and up and down. And any investment is actually better that it's done that because you got rid of that parabolic curve, right? But in looking in this world of NFTs, you have the first mover opportunity, which is always the greatest if it wins, but it has the highest level of risk. Where do people begin to go, well, there's still, like, if you're looking on the technology S curve, you're still at the bottom, basically, but you've had enough experience with this asset out there that you begin to go, well, there's still a lot ahead. I certainly didn't get in at the beginning, but when do you start evaluating, well, maybe this has enough history that I can start making a better, a less risky decision, a less risky decision?
And that's really tough with a lot of these, because like you said, there isn't a lot of real information that you can trust out there. Like, what information can you trust? What I can say, and what I tend to do, I'm a venture investor too. I invest in a lot of companies, a lot of new assets, things like that. I look very carefully at the team behind them. You know, if I can gather information, what have they done in the past? Are they a team? You know, there's this exchange in Canada for crypto coins, is where they allowed you to exchange, seemed great, but the two guys behind them were complete scammers and they just ripped off everybody and the whole thing imploded years later and people lost millions and millions of dollars because their whole goal was to scam people. You need to look at the history of the people. Are they legitimate? Number one, right? Because the people will tell you a lot at the end of the day. Number two, you need to look where the market is headed. Like, is this something new or is it a copycat? Are they really pushing the envelope? Number three, you need to look at value creation. Like, what within a lot of these, and especially when we talk about the blockchain, they aren't creating value in the real world, like as we traditionally understand a company creating value, like owning a factory that produces something, you know, creating software that people use every day. It's not like that, but they are creating value in the world of the blockchain, of cryptocurrency, of NFTs. So a company like OpenSea, for example, they're actually a marketplace where people can come and buy and sell these NFTs and go on there. You can check. It's really cool. Now, they've created a lot of value for people in this world. So you can be pretty sure that OpenSea's and stuff they're doing has value. But it's hard. It's hard. Like, let me give you a new example. There is a company that is just launching right now, backed by, you know, one of the founders of Reddit. We all know Reddit, so very legitimate. And OpenSea, one of the biggest marketplaces out there for NFTs. And this company is making chips that you can embed in any physical object and actually sell the NFT of that. So let's say you go out and buy a fancy car, you know, a Ferrari or a Porsche. You can, along with your purchase of the car, you get a, there's a chip in the car that gives you the right to the NFT of that red Ferrari or of that, you know, convertible Porsche, whatever it is, or a Gucci purse or whatever it is. And then you can show your friends online that, hey, I actually own a Ferrari, even if you can't see it. Even if you're in the metaverse and they're all the way around the world and they can't come see your Ferrari, they can't see your Gucci purse, they know that you own it because it's been validated by this chip. Is this a good idea or a bad idea? Like, that's my question. Is it just an insane idea or is there real value there? Really hard question to answer.
And on that question, the cliffhanger, we have to say farewell for today's episode. I want to thank you for joining us again. Conscious Millionaire is all about helping service and tech businesses make a bigger impact put more money in the bank, and you as an owner get a happier and more fulfilled life. That's the total package right there. And Captain Hoff, thank you again for another fabulous episode.
Thank you. And I want to let people know how they can reach me. They can reach me at Founderspace. And if you want my book on all this new tech that's coming out, check out The Five Forces at fiveforces.com. I'll see you all later.
And we'll have all the ways that you can follow Steve Hoffman on the show notes at ConsciousMillionaireShow.com, all of the social media as well. And we'll also have a link in case you didn't get that link, The Five Forces. It just goes directly to his information. And we look forward to connecting with you on our next Conscious Millionaire. Are you tired of being stuck in your six-figure business? I mean, are you ready to go from $10,000 or $20,000 a month all the way up to $100,000 a month? Then I want to gift you my book, Conscious Millionaire, Grow Your Business by Making a Difference. When it launched, it had 50,000 downloads in just 3 days. And now you can grab your copy absolutely free today is my gift to you. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/free book and get your free book now.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed on the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.